to our session. I'd like to open with our first two speakers, Haley DeForum, University of Pennsylvania, Mariota Knowles Bias, and the Sony Institute, speaking on strategies for activating language practices and participation in multilingual community results.
Well, good afternoon. Thank you for coming and rushing your lunch to be here. We're going to talk today about the way we promoted the use of DJASA or Isthmus Zapotec in the context of a language documentation or ethnobotanical documentation project. I'll give you the overview of the project, and then my colleague Hallie will talk about, we'll provide you an analysis, a preliminary analysis of the results. Let me give you a little sociolinguistic overview of the field context. So the language we're talking about is DJASA, or Isthmus Zapotec. It is one of several dozen Zapotec languages spoken in Mexico. Zapotec languages belong to the Oromangian stock of Mesoamerican languages. There are somewhere between 75, 85,000 and 100,000 speakers, probably more on the lower end. Of the 22 municipalities where the language is spoken, in 20 of them, it is considered, the language is considered to be undergoing accelerated extinction. In La Ventosa specifically, it's a town of close to 5,000 people. About half of them report speaking an indigenous language, which could be DJASA or some other language. This is a historically multilingual region of the country. This is in the south of Mexico, in the Isthmus of Tehuantepec. The shift that we're seeing is the typical pattern of three-generation shift, with the elders being Zapotec dominant, with Spanish abilities, adults being either fully bilingual or dominant in Spanish, and children being dominant Spanish with passive skills or no skills in DJASA. We have here two quotes to give you a sense of what is happening in the community. The first reads, "Our parents didn't let us speak Zapotec because they said that we would get confused with Spanish," showing the preference for raising children as Spanish speakers. And the second one, "I don't speak it so much because, well, my dad always spoke to us in Spanish, but since my grandmother always spoke Zapotec, it is by listening to it that I was able to understand it and can now pronounce it. There are people who cannot speak Spanish here, and you are required to speak Zapotec with them, and that is when I speak it, but well, not so much with other people." Let me give you a couple of slides about the documentation project itself. So this is a project that emerged from an effort to produce a dictionary of DJASA, trilingual dictionary, Spanish, English, in addition to DJASA. Part of the dictionary was a module on plants, including 350 or so plant names, and we needed to document them adequately. So I carried out a pilot project in 2012, and then a one-year collection, ethnobotanical collection project, starting in September 2013. What emerged from the initial pilot is that people got very excited about the plants. They had never been excited about the dictionary, but they were very excited about the plants project. And specifically, children were very intrigued by plants. They wanted to know their names. They wanted to know things about them. So they wanted to get to the knowledge that older people in the community have. And this was an opportunity to show that through the language, you could get to that knowledge. The project, of course, had its documentation goals, but it followed important principles of collaboration development, local retention, not return of research results, but local retention of research, raising awareness about ethnobotanical knowledge, and of course, promoting the use of the language. The team is pretty large. There's a number of people from outside the community, two biologists, one photographer, Hallie and myself. But within the community, all of the knowledge bearers in this project are from the community. Fernando Sanchez Lopez, who you see at the top, was our guide and our primary knowledge bearer. He would go on hikes with Pedro Trujillo Vera, a young man with very advanced passive bilingual skills. Reina Lopez Lopez would work with Fernando to write down all of the basic information about the plants and enter them into a database. And we had two other knowledge bearers who have contributed to the project. So of these community members, all of them are speakers of Zapotec. Pedro has passive skills in the language. So one important point to make here is that because of the diverse profiles of the participants in the project, we had to implement certain strategies, which Hallie will talk about. Because in addition to the group that I just described, many of us outsiders had limited to no skills in the language. So I'll turn it over to Hallie now.
Hi, everybody. So we're going to look at an analysis of some of the ways that this ethnobotanical documentation project influenced Digesa use. And we've chosen to highlight several strategies, as Gabriela mentioned, that were used to promote active language use and to analyze the results of these strategies within a framework that is considering the specific opportunities and motivations for Digesa use that were created. So informed by applied linguistics concepts, we're analyzing opportunities in terms of observable acts of speaking, listening, reading, or writing, and analyzing motivations in terms of a very classic split between integrative or affective and social motivations and instrumental or practical and needs-driven motivations. Additionally, we're disaggregating the kinds of strategies used and the resulting impacts by social domain, so considering what occurred within the core project team, within a local domain, and within the regional domain in the isthmus. So we'll be analyzing results following this framework, which looks at opportunities for listening, speaking, reading, or writing, and motivations created at the project team level, at the local level, and at the regional level. And the data being used in this analysis comes from a 15-month ethnographic study, which I conducted looking at several different initiatives that are promoting use of Digesa across the isthmus, and this ethnobotany project was one of those initiatives, and I had a really privileged role in this project to be an insider. Essentially, I had an action research role as a member of the team and active participant in some of the activities that we're going to talk about. But I also had the role of observing and documenting the development of the project. And I did this through field notes, semi-structured interviews, audio recording, project meetings and workshops, and photo documentation, as well as some quantitative data on the participation and materials dissemination. So let's look at some of the strategies and their results. One of the strategies within the domain of the program itself was building the use of Digesa into the documentation activities. As Gabriela mentioned, the core team was actually quite diverse, and there were some people with no Digesa abilities, those of us coming from the outside, so there was a concern that Spanish would become the dominant language of this project, which would be rather ironic. So in consideration of this, the data collection forms and a subsequent database program were developed bilingually. And as a result, as noted in multiple observations of the team at work, the team members who are able to speak Zapotec did so consistently while organizing and filling out the forms. Additionally, team members who were not speakers of Zapotec, such as the biologists and photographer, began to learn and actively use Zapotec words for some of the plants while working with the local team members. As one of the biologists commented when asked about her use of Digesa, "It's necessary, especially in communicating ideas to refer to a particular plant, we use names in Zapotec, in the use of the database also, for example, the colors." An additional strategy that increased language use between team members and the community was making the project activities as visible and audible as possible. The team members worked in a public cultural center where people often pass through, sometimes asking questions about the project, other times noticing it or hearing it, as they went by. Local children were particularly interested, and team members took time to teach them the names of plants and interact. On one occasion, when I visited, Fernando showed me that he'd taken the initiative to keep a few plant samples on hand among his equipment. Fernando is the key plant collector of the project. So he had kept these samples aside because kids kept coming up and asking what they were doing, and he wanted to be able to show them what the work was about. As you can see in these photos here, in the top photo, there's a group of kids clustering around as the team is doing the plant pressing and recording that occurred in the evening after their daily outings. And in the bottom photo, there's four young men clustered around the photographer, really keen to see what he's doing as he records those plants. In order to engage in more direct outreach, workshops for children were planned and facilitated by team members and several additional teachers from La Ventosa. Three workshops have occurred to date through the participation of 8 community teachers who've delivered 15 hours of instruction to just over 100 children. Children participated in games and activities that required them to listen, speak, and sing, and read and write Dijasa. And the community teachers also expanded their use of Dijasa into new domains. For example, the fluent adult elder speakers who typically speak Spanish to children use Dijasa to interact with the child participants in the workshop. And 2 young adults who are Spanish dominant but do have Dijasa speaking abilities stretched and developed their abilities to participate to teach children, and they expanded their typical Dijasa use from the oral home domain to this classroom environment, including reading and writing. You can see in the top photo Rosa, who's a speaker who typically uses Spanish when kids are around, is speaking Dijasa to 2 young girls, explaining a certain sort of hair product that is made out of this plant. And in the bottom photo, Diana and Sidlali, 2 young women, are teaching body parts to a group of children. And as Diana, one of these young women, commented, the best part was to see the result, that they could already put a name on their drawings in Zapotec, so that yes, they learned, yes, they enjoyed the class, and what's the most motivating is that they tell you, when's another class? Impacts of language use beyond the immediate domain of the project occurred through the dissemination of a plant-themed memorama and bingo game, which created opportunities for reading, hearing, and speaking Dijasa. These learning materials were disseminated very heavily in the local domain of La Ventosa and more strategically within the wider domain of the Isthmus, including 6 libraries, 8 cultural centers, 23 education institutions, and over 800 individuals. Many people reacted very positively to these materials. As one school director commented, this comes to help a bit so the student knows their roots, right? This kind of material is important. And you can see here a young boy pretty excited to play the memorama with Victor Cata, who's one of the linguist consultants who helped develop this learning material. A strategy at the local and regional level was outreach in person and via various forms of media. Within La Ventosa, 4 public outreach talks were given. At the regional level, 2 radio interviews were given and various press releases. Also, the project has been presented at conferences at the Oaxaca state level and internationally. Although initially 2 team members expressed nervousness about using Dijasa in these public presentations, this changed over time as the team gave several presentations over the year. After the final presentation, Fernando commented in an interview, "It was easy for me to explain the project in a public presentation in August 2014. There were some nerves since I've never been in front of such important people. I have never had that experience, except there in Oaxaca where we went to present the project in April 2014. That is where I got a bit of courage and experience for the public." Here's a picture of Reina giving one of the outreach talks in La Ventosa itself, and Gabriela giving a radio interview in Juchitán, the largest town of the region. So just to sum up what was observed here, a variety of opportunities and motivations were created as a result of these project activities, most significantly within the project domain itself, but also extending beyond the project domain into the local and regional domains. All team members within the project domain expanded their Dijasa use in some way, whether in perception or production. In particular, the community members who are speakers expanded their normal patterns of Dijaza use to include communication with children and public speaking. Team members who entered with no knowledge of the language did learn and actively use some. And young adults expanded their use of Dijaza to teach basic oral and literacy skills to children. The documentation and workshop activities created instrumental motivation among the participants who needed to use Dijaza to accomplish their specific objectives and tasks within these events. Integrative motivation was also created through a positive team atmosphere and constant affirmation of the value of the language. Within the local domain, opportunities to listen, speak, and read were created through the widespread dissemination of ethnobotanical games to many families, while invitations to participate in workshops created opportunities for more active use of Dijaza, in particular among the local population. Integrative motivations were fostered through person-to-person outreach and interaction between team members and community members, and the interactive presentations about the project that occurred within the local community. And finally, at the regional level, opportunities to listen, speak, and read Dijaza were created, again, by disseminating the educational games strategically to educational and cultural organizations and to the most interested individuals. Outreach through media, such as radio, press releases, and the informational sheet included with the games, helped to valorize the language and create integrated motivations, although probably less significantly than the person-to-person outreach that occurred in La Ventosa itself. So to conclude, we've observed that increased listening, speaking, reading, and writing did occur among a variety of participants in and around this project, if only on a temporary basis as a result of these project activities. However, we can be hopeful for the future in that we see that local team members have gained confidence with public speaking and with teaching and are now taking the lead in designing and imparting workshops and creating more learning activities for local children, such as a planned upcoming writing poetry competition that they're hoping to put on, and future workshops throughout the rest of this calendar year that are also being planned. So these advances in active language use occurred during the data collection part of this documentation project, and there's now planned a further dissemination, analysis, and retention of results phase of the project. So we're hopeful that even greater gains in active language use can be achieved during this further phase, and that further strategies can be developed in order to achieve some more sustainable growth in the active language use among the community members. Thank you. Everybody's laughing after lunch. Yes?
Well, I think, so the excitement, Reina and Tafer had the wisdom to suggest that all the activities of the project be as publicly visible as possible, precisely because they thought, knowing how children are curious, they thought that that would pull the children in, and they were absolutely right. So it was, I think I would consider it an informal way of doing it. I mean, we just opened the project, to made it visible, and children just came. So that allowed us to think a little bit more about how to construct more structured activities. So the workshops emerged from that. Initially it was just opening the project and letting those who were interested come.
Just to add on that, as Gabriela said, once people were aware of the project, they had seen it, and there was this kind of organic interest, the workshops became a more formal space in which they could be involved And we invited kids to participate in that by visiting the local schools and handing out little flyers and then putting up posters around the town and then trying to spread the word mouth to mouth to encourage the kids to come to the workshop. And after we had had the first workshop, they really enjoyed it and asked, when's the next one? When can we do this again? So it's been, as Gabriella said, a mix of the informal socializing and then a more formal approach through these weekend workshops.
Any other questions?
If there are no other questions, there's just one thing that I think we omitted in our presentation. And I just wanted to acknowledge the support that has made all of this work possible. I mean, this is work that has been going on since 2011 was the planning. So this is work since 2012 that was funded by a small grants award from the Smithsonian Institution, the Recovering Voices Initiative, and the Consortium for World Cultures, also from the Smithsonian. So we're very grateful for that.
Okay. No further questions. Well, thank you, speaker.